You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi,
featuring attorney, guest, and former felony prosecutor Eric Fardis,
talking about supposedly, you know, scientific data. That's just it's data. It's not necessarily manipulated, but how accurate is the data? Then you have the data of on his phone showing he went up and down like flights of stairs and such as well. I mean, is some of this just not the best or the most accurate as we think it is? I mean, our devices screw up all the time. Sometimes it thinks I'm running, you know, when I'm sitting here, or it'll interpret different things different ways. I mean, is it the gospel to be looking at and saying, well, it's Apple, it must be right?
It is definitely not the gospel. I mean, we all have devices in our lives, whether they're phones or, you know, just appliances at home. Those things make mistakes. Those things screw up. Those things have errors, that kind of thing. And so while it is kind of more sound than like a witness's recollection, arguably, it is by no means the holy grail in terms of what objectively happened. Now it's information from which we can try to draw inferences, But to say that is the be-all, end-all would be misguided.
From what you've seen thus far in the trial, now that we're wrapping up, or once week one here is wrapped up, what has stood out to you as being some of the most compelling testimony thus far?
You know, what has really struck me, so going into this, like you said, the government's allegation that Karen Reed said, I hit him. I was like, how is she ever going to get by that? That's going to be a nail in the coffin. It's going to be over. But as we're hearing these witnesses come to the stand, one of them who I think had mentioned that they had heard that are now saying, well, you know what? I actually heard another guy say that Karen Reed said that. And then we have this this additional police officer who's saying, I never heard her say that. We have the paramedics testimony, which is, which is open to interpretation, I think. And so I think just that admission being challenged so strongly is what has struck me and what has kept Karen Reed in this fight.
We only have to go for a reasonable doubt here, to have the jury say we don't think that there's a reasonable chance here that she did not do this. If we do go down that path, does this continue to be investigated? Does this continue? Is there someone else that's going to end up being prosecuted? Or is it like, well, we're going to call it a day. We didn't get her. I mean, that certainly would not be justice for John O'Keefe and his family who've been going through hell with all of this. Because I think at the end of the day, you have both camps here that are just so ingrained and on their own side, no matter how this turns out, they're still going to think they're right. What happens here? Because it does appear that there is quite a bit of reasonable doubt on the part of Karen Reed. And I don't know. I mean, there's a reasonable chance that she did do it too, but that's not how you convict somebody.
Sure. Yeah, I think there's a reasonable likelihood of acquittal for the reasons you mentioned, Tony. And if that happens, unfortunately, it's so unlikely for the government to kind of bring the case again against somebody else because they look so silly, right? They initially put all their eggs in one basket, said, hey, this must have been Karen Reed. Please believe us. We're going to testify under oath that jury, this is what you should accept. And then if it turns out they're wrong, it's pretty hard to put their tail between their legs and say, oh, well, back to the drawing board. Let's find out who actually did this. And fortunately, those efforts are often never made.
Is that an ego thing where it's like we just don't want to look bad? I mean, would a changing of the guard, would different people being in there, if there were different people in there prosecuting that, does that sometimes refresh a case like this to look at it from a different perspective?
I think there are two central pieces. One is that it is an ego thing for a lot of these folks. The second part is that it substantially would weaken the subsequent prosecution because the subsequent defendant would argue, hey, you know, the law enforcement was positive. They had the right person and the right facts and the right evidence, and they were 100% wrong according to a jury. Now they're coming to you telling you it's me. They're likewise wrong. This just fraught with errors and it's botched from the beginning. So those subsequent investigations for a number of reasons are often just unsuccessful.
And if there isn't a subsequent investigation, it's just, well, who killed John O'Keefe? And that's still up to be a mystery, which, and I'm not saying it is, but she could be acquitted. She could have still been the one who did it and been unaware. She was drunk at the time. And it just ends up being a mystery forever. That's got to be a hard thing for the family to try and wrap their mind around, that could end up being the reality of all this.
Oh, think about just the crushing feeling you would have if your loved one was gone through no fault of their own. And, you know, maybe the police got it right, but couldn't convict the person, or maybe they got it wrong and couldn't convict the person. The lack of closure, the lack of resolution, the lack of justice mm-hmm. for this family is really going to be central if there's an acquittal in this case.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advance access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial free.
So you can binge on true crime.
Until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now. Or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.